to order and acknowledge that the press and public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The first item on our agenda is approval of previous meetings minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So approved. Citizens' comments? Okay, then Donnie, you are on with your report.
All right, the month of March, historically it's cleaning beach paths. We did mow the beach path.
Do we not have a written report? Is it in a packet?
The original packet?
I don't know. No, it was not in the original packet.
Do we really need it? He's gonna walk through it. He can give it to you when he's done.
You can give it to us when we're done.
Donnie, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I like his graphs.
I thought I said it.
That would be my highlights, is getting this beach pass cleaned, even with two employees down. Also, always during the month of March, or when the tea room, the Methodist Church, we do service that daily during that week.
That's this week?
That was the
Last week.
March. 5-year garbage, I did correct the graph, went back to the 5-year. So I dropped the 2012. Garbage was way down, actually. For, you know, about 50 tons from the previous year.
Down 50 tons?
Yep. Also, the yard debris for the month of March was very high again this year. 258 tons. 2016 was 247. So we had a lot of yard debris. And my vehicle maintenance report, no big tickets really. I will tell you that today we will be getting two tires for the IT14G, that's the CAT. And that's gonna be a pretty big hit, but we'll still be within budget by the end of the year. And that's all I have for my reports, unless there's a question.
Questions? Thank you, Donnie. Old business, discussion of reclaiming the multi-use path on Waterway Boulevard. And I think you have pictures in your packet. I think I remember it being cleaned a couple of years ago. I think I remember somebody coming by and actually cutting all the roots and cleaning it off, because at least from Seahorse to 28, the path in some instances goes down to almost 1 foot. And I'm talking about the bike multi-use path.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if there is a schedule that we put, because I noticed it's not in the RFP for our new maintenance. Mm-hmm. So, and Linda kind of shared that it's a combination of public works and some county help. Mm-hmm. But I would really like to see some kind of a schedule where at least twice a year, once a year, whatever we can do, that from 21st to 41st, that path is reclaimed so that it's the 6 foot. And there is 6 feet underneath all that stuff. And I watched a little girl fall because she was trying to manipulate going around everything. And some of it is due to the path itself, because there's roots underneath it. But, you know, I know we spend a lot of time on our beach paths and our front beach, but this is where the predominant number of residents live. And this is the path that predominantly the residents use. And I would like to see us put it on a schedule.
Sandy, I'm interpreting your comments making a distinction between maintenance and improvements. You get into root, entrenchment, and whatnot, that's an improvement, right?
No, it's just maintenance. I mean, you're not improving the path, you're just taking away the overgrowth that has come on it. I mean,
well, root is an overgrowth. So what I see is there are significant irregularities in the path. So I'm just trying to distinguish between maintenance mm-hmm. and improvements. And so I ask you the question as chair,
right.
Does it need to be improved?
I think it needs I think it needs to be reclaimed, and that's the term I'm using, because there is already a path existing there. Okay. So it's not that we're having to build a new path. It's there. It's just that over time that the overgrowth has come. And it doesn't take that much to move it out of the way.
But what about the irregularity and the root encroachment? That's where a child would get hurt, I would think, as much as overhead.
I'd like to see the path first, and then we can look at improvements. Because improvements is going to deal with a lot of money.
Okay, so we're just talking about cutting back.
And not cutting back plants. I mean, if you look at the pictures, if you reclaim the 3 feet that are covered, you're going to take a lot of that overgrowth out. Okay. And then just have all those leaves blown up further up the hill, which will, you know, allow it to be open for a whole lot longer. Then I think the second part of it is to have an evaluation of all of that. But I fear that you can't replace the roots. I mean, it's either going to have to be raised up higher than the root growth already is underneath that asphalt, because sometimes it's like 2 inches high.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if even repaving that is going to take care of the root problem.
Well, I agree that it needs to be better maintained, and I would also advocate that we get an assessment on what it would take to improve it, who would be responsible, if it's something that state DOT would take a role in. You know, best we make the request sooner rather than later and get in the queue with everybody else and all the other requests.
But what I'm saying is I want to see an actual schedule. In other words, if we have a schedule for when we do the beach pass, when everything is ready for our visitors to come.
Sure.
Well, whether it's January that we do this, where, you know, there's not quite as much going on elsewhere, that we have January,
agreed,
October, or
agreed,
whatever.
Agreed. I'm just trying to understand the distinctions, but I agree completely.
And I'm saying that, you know, we can probably have it reclaimed easier than we can have it fixed.
Sure.
So let's take it one step at a time.
Sure.
And I'm not sure if that needs to be part of the maintenance contract, or if there are outside sources that do this, because I don't think we can depend on Donnie's men to have extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it seems like. You know, if he can squeeze it in, then he can get it done. What I want to see is that there is a schedule that on January or whatever date you folks decide, somebody's going to come out and clean from 21st to 41st. And whether it takes twice a year or once a year, you folks can decide. But I don't think we need to put it on Donnie's men.
So how best to do that?
So first of all, I want to be clear, because I'm not, I don't believe that the width of the bike path is the same from 21st. 41st.
I think it's narrower in some places.
Some places it's only 2 feet.
Some places
it's only 2 feet wide, the actual asphalt, and other places along the golf course it may be 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. And that particular path and the overgrowth overhead and the both sides was mowed in January by a subcontractor. Not mowed, but debrushed. January, wasn't it, mm-hmm, when we did that?
But the path wasn't reclaimed.
So you're talking about removing soil, mm-hmm, like the,
yes,
photos?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, no, that was not done. But he,
right,
did mow the, with his machine, the small stuff.
Mm-hmm. And some of this stuff is actually in the middle. I mean, there are 2-inch stems coming out of the middle of the asphalt. So, I mean, it's more than just, you know, getting the dirt away. I realize that.
So, Sandy, you would recognize that there'll be some additional cost to do that.
Absolutely.
Right? So are we prepared to make a recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee that we add funds to the current maintenance budget we're considering for this purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
If that's what it takes. I'm asking, what will it take?
What kind of number do you think that would be?
Depends on what how much maintenance. If you want it on a landscaping schedule, you're gonna probably need to double what you got in the budget that you're proposing now.
I wouldn't recommend that we make that part of the landscape contract that's currently out for bid. I think it would be better for us to reach out to a couple of vendors and just get some prices. I know I can think of one, maybe two, that we could reach.
PD's doesn't do anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. It's gonna have to be somebody that has the equipment to just come through and
the one we use has the equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, this notion that we're trying to get the community to the quality of the rec center as our model, and we've added significant budgeted dollars mm-hmm. in the current Ways and Means process for that. What I'm suggesting is we add some number to that, and this committee make that recommendation.
Whether it be that vendor or another vendor.
Right, right.
That
yeah.
maintenance of the island yeah. is considered, one thing is flowery plants and things, the other is 21st to 41st.
Give me a range. Is it, and an annualized basis, what she's talking
so
about,
if,
is it
if you
10
want
to 20,000
every
dollars?
Week? And
No.
Just
a couple of times a year,
right.
maybe.
$18,000.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Sandy, if you're willing to make a motion for $20,000 to be added to this maintenance budget to get to the rec center quality that we're talking about, I'd be happy to second it.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
We didn't have time
to
discuss.
Discussion. Excuse me.
I'd like to see us look at getting volunteers like Adopt a Beach program. Adopt path before we go keep spend more money. You know, we have Adopt a Beach, which has been very successful, and we have groups that Boy Scout troops and groups like that might be interested. We could spend a few dollars on signs like every 6 months every six blocks or maybe up to a mile. Boy Scout troop XYZ adopted this path and let them take care of it.
That's a great effort. I'd suggest that they're not mutually exclusive. Sandy's talking about something more substantial twice a year. I think a maintenance, like the leaves and the brush and so forth, doing an adopt a path program. And that may happen, maybe if you get it done on a monthly basis, that would be attractive.
Where is the maintenance budget up to now?
130? It's in there. I want to say it's 130 or 138.
Is it for the
They're talking about for the landscape contract.
It's 193,000.
Whoa!
But that
that's what we're proposing. We initially had around 60,000, and we tripled that in order to increase the scope of the services that we were expecting. So that's what is included in the...
And that all of that number is the landscape contract?
It is in the landscape.
Because I thought there was something else in that 190, but I could be wrong.
Do you remember what fund? Muni?
Hospitality, probably.
Since we're talking about that RFP, one of the things I noticed in that RFP is that there's a lot of emphasis on color.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're looking at the rec center as our model, you notice that what they have done has been very smart in planting indigenous plants so that they don't have to replace annuals and replace perennials. Because on this island, doing that is throwing good money after bad. Because they're not salt tolerant, so that I would rather see that plan not be so emphasized on color as emphasized on indigenous plants that may have color. Some of our plants do bloom, and they're very showy, for instance. But if we need to have color like on Front Beach, it can be done easily with colored planters and indigenous ferns and things of that sort that don't depend on replanting spring, fall, and winter. And that's why I kind of wanted that path to be part of the recreation idea, because what they have done is simply made sure that everything is trimmed and everything is blown and everything looks nice. They haven't spent a whole lot of money on colored flowers, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one thing in that RFP that I thought was adding a whole lot of money where we could possibly not spend it there, but spend it elsewhere.
Could we call for the vote on the motion that's on the table?
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
So we will present to Ways and Means an additional $18,000 to...
The motion was
$20,000.
Oh, I rounded it to $20,000.
$20,000 to maintenance, not so much in the RFP that's out there, but for additional help from 21st to 41st to make sure that that path is always accessible. And it's not just the overhang, but it's everything that's involved.
For pedestrian traffic and golf carts and bikers, that's one of our primary avenues, mm-hmm. and is visible and gets a lot of use, and waterway is going to increasingly get busy. It really should be a bit of a show place.
Yeah. It should always look nice. And it's all indigenous plants. I mean, it's not like we have to plant anything. We just have to keep it up. Any other discussion, since we've already held the vote? Okay. And following up on that, I wanted to discuss the debris removal on Waterway, especially at 30th or 29th. 29th, where they're building that new home, right across the street where the lift station is for Waterworks. There is almost always at least 3 or 4 feet high trash cuttings, whether it's tree limbs or grass or whatever. And I know your folks came in and took it this morning. It's right back again. So I'm not sure if that is just a dump site for everybody or if it's just the house across the street that's being built. And Donnie, I don't know if you have any insight into there, but it's almost always got a really high stack of cuttings.
My speculation would be, right by the lift station, it would be the debris that the golf course has put there.
The golf course? Then how can we, I mean, are they given permission to do that? I mean, they can put all their...
We pick up everything.
We pick up it all.
Do they notify you so that you will be aware that there's a bunch? Could we ask them to do that at least so that your folks know that on this particular day or week there's going to be, you know, a lot of it there?
Well, Public Works canvasses every subdivision every week. So is there a particular day? It's all based on volume. So one day we may get there on a Monday, and the next week we may not get there till Wednesday. It's based on loads, based on traffic on 526. There's a lot of variables. So you can't be specific in what day we're going to pick it up.
So what you're saying is even if they gave you notification, it might not solve the problem that you are concerned about, that particularly large pile sometimes sits there a long time.
Yes. And it sits there more than a week. I'm not putting this on your guys. I'm just trying to find a way, again, because Waterway is the main access on that side of the island. And it's almost always got leaves and trash and stuff on it.
Sometimes there's times when we picked it up on Monday, and
it's
we pick it up again by Friday. Mm-hmm. We've picked it up again.
Yeah, I know. That's why I just didn't know the source of all of it, because there's an empty lot right next to it and there's a home being built across the street, but it could not be just from that lot. I know on one day it was because I mm-hmm. saw them putting it there, mm-hmm. but it's always there. I mean, for as long as I've lived here, that seems to be a dump site for, you know, whoever has limbs and leaves and whatever. And if we're trying to get Waterway to be sort of our Palm Boulevard of the Intercoastal Waterway, we have to find some way of having a handle on it. I don't know what the answer is on it.
Donnie, if you think it might be the golf course folks, is there somewhere else they might be able to put it that would be less visible to the general public, but you guys would know where it was?
Well, there's also containers that they have at both the Harbor Course and the Links Course that they put their debris, of which The city also takes care
of that.
Right. And I only say it's the golf course because if it's close to the lift station, there's a maintenance path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that tells me that they're coming out with their vehicles, their golf course apparatus, and that may be where it is. Mm-hmm. It may be the IOP water and sewer. And they've done something there. I don't know. But that's just speculation on my part.
Do we provide much debris and trash pickup for water and sewer?
We do provide.
We provide all of it.
All of it.
Is it, but is it equal a good bit of tonnage? I don't know.
Well, the water department has 4 90-gallon containers that we service, and then one at in Wild Dunes. So it's just on regular garbage cycle.
And anytime they have to trim, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but anytime they have to trim around any of their facilities, their lift stations or, you know, even hydrants, which we sometimes trim those too. But
has there anybody tried to equate the value of the services that we provide to water and sewer? Maybe we should do that.
You're smiling, Donnie.
Who's going to do that?
You can put a figure on it, but
you in your spare time, right?
Yeah.
Well, Ted, would you like Donnie to look into it?
I would like the city administrator to assess the total value of services we provide to water and sewer. And correct me if I'm wrong, we receive no taxes or fees for all the services we provide.
That's correct.
So you're saying it might be time for us to just look at what that number is?
Yeah.
Okay, Linda?
Well, I'm not sure how to put a number on all of it other than to try to translate what we do for them into what it would cost them if they had to pay someone to do it. Would be about the only mechanism I would know to be able to translate that.
And we also do the same for Wild Dunes, right? We do all the services inside Wild Dunes and the picket, the trash from the golf course, et cetera, et cetera. They don't have any of their own maintenance contracts.
Well, they have small, you know, they have a landscape company that works in there, and then they have, you know, what I would call small, you know, like carpentry and, you know, small maintenance kinds
Who
of things.
Who keeps their paths cleaned?
They do.
They meaning?
The Wild Dunes Community Association.
So they
contractor.
Have.
Mm-hmm. They sub it out to
Green Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Green okay. Carolina.
Trent's been doing it for years.
Okay. Yeah.
20
so that's
years.
Maybe
I'm hoping they'll
look.
Bid on be one of the bidders
Good.
On our
okay, great.
Contract.
Okay. Going on to any other discussion on that? I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut it off. Discussion of dump site permitting. Somebody asked me this question that looking at our public works site that we're now working on, that it in itself looks like a dump site. That there is a lot of stuff that is on that site that makes it appear to be a dump site for certain types of refuse. And do we have a permit, or does it require a dump site permit to have all of that on that site?
It requires the white goods to be under
shelter. Which it is not now.
That's right. That's why you're
and that's
what
why
you're doing.
We're paying for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And is this typical of, I know it's typical of our island to do this, but is it typical of other municipalities to provide a white goods pickup, or is this something that has evolved over the years for the island and we just do that as a courtesy to
them? I think most, Donnie's probably more familiar than me, but I think most local governments who do manage their own garbage and debris also pick up white goods probably the ones who have facilities that have been recently renovated store those white goods until they're transported off site, you know, for a period of time.
So there's no way to have them transported on a regular basis like we do the rest of the garbage and the rest of the trash?
You got personnel.
You would have to increase your personnel. Because what might happen is in 1 week you might, and I'm, again, this is really Donnie's world.
You
but
got it.
In 1 week you might have, you know, one refrigerator. So you would be transporting off the island one refrigerator. The next week you might have a refrigerator, a commode, a washing machine, and a dishwasher. And, you know, so it would merit making the trip with that load off the island. So it's so sporadic that what Donnie's doing to maximize the, you know, his personnel and the trips is so far away to go all the way to where the white goods go, that he collects it until he has a full load and then takes that full load. And I'm putting words in his mouth, but, you know, they are my neighbor and I watch what's going on over here. So
now, is there ever a time when there's no white goods on that site?
Yes.
Okay.
Every Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon. And then it builds up, and every Friday.
Unless it comes in on a Friday after we've
closed. Okay.
The issue that forces what I'm interpreting as your concern is he's got limited space. So there can never be more than what the space is. And he's got to move it out. And that's the driver to address your concern.
Well, the person that was talking to me about it seemed to feel like it was always cluttered with stuff. But she's erroneous.
These island residents are messy.
Yeah, it is. The site is cluttered, and Donnie's challenge to keep it orderly and clean.
Here's the difference.
There's no question.
Here's the difference. Do you want it on the right-of-ways on your island, or do you want it consolidated in this yard? Because previously, 15 years ago, it was left on the right-of-ways.
So we didn't always provide this
service? No, we provided the service. What Donnie's saying is rather than have the site look bad under prior administration.
Leave it there until Friday and then pick everything
yes.
up on Friday.
So you could have company coming in and somebody could have put out a dishwasher right in front of your house.
Right.
And if you called Public Works and said, you know, I know it's not the pickup day for white goods, but could you come get this because I'm having company come in and we're going to have to look at this dishwasher sitting out on the curb all week. Back in those days, the site would be clean, but that would sit on the right-of-way. Under Donnie's purview and mine, we have opted that it's better to have it off the street, it's less dangerous, and consolidated to one site that it's ultimately going to go off of. So it's only one place looking bad, not our visitors and residents having to look at it.
But that in itself has caused us to have to spend a lot of money to have it covered and everything reclaimed, right? Because the water that goes over top all of that stuff drains.
You would
in.
Still be getting the pollution if it was sitting on the right of way.
Right. But
I mean,
it wouldn't be consolidated.
But
yeah.
That isn't the sole issue for this facility,
no.
is it?
No. Right. But it's part of it, right?
Part of it.
Yeah.
Well, what percentage?
That's just a small.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. The white goods building storage area compared to the
washdown
station is very small in number. I didn't look at.
Right.
The breakdown.
Yeah. It's
Douglas.
Just a little pre-engineered.
It should be.
It's just a little
building.
Small building.
Yeah. So in theory, this approach that we're currently doing is more costly because if you did it on a Friday one time, you're only handling it one time. If you take it off island, right, you wouldn't have to store it. Here, we're collecting, storing it, and then taking it off island. I don't think it's a significant cost, but the service that's been provided the citizens, I think there'd be hue and cry if you tried to go back to Friday approach. I mean, some things there are costs associated with that are worthwhile doing.
Well, and when we go to twice a week garbage pickup, that Friday scenario wouldn't work anyway. So, I mean, I think Donnie's trying to manage with the fewest people that he can and still get the job accomplished.
All indications are he's doing a great job.
Right.
Okay, I'm just, don't kill the messenger.
No, no.
No, it's a good discussion.
If I could wave a magic wand and have all that be prettier, I would definitely do that because it bothers me too. So whomever is complaining about it, you know, I would be in the same camp as them.
And it bothers me, but that's the nature of the business that I deal with, is garbage and trash.
Moving it.
But Sandy, where we...
But doing it efficiently for the taxpayers is my biggest concern. And in my opinion, there's not enough volume to warrant an employee in a flatbed truck to continuously haul white goods. There's not enough volume there.
But Sandy, where we can make an improvement is outside the fence. Mm-hmm. And with some of the additional maintenance funds, we can make it more attractive from what the public mostly sees.
Any other discussion on dump site? Update on NPDES project. And Linda, you had sent me an email saying that we're a month behind.
Correct. Well, the contractor is a month behind. And that was the reason why we went in and modified the next draft of the budget, so that we did not think the project would spill over into FY18. But being a month behind, I fear that it will. So it's the same pot of money, but we have just split it into the balance of this year and moving over into next year. And it's very frustrating to be a month behind.
So where are we now? Did we start on March 6th, or we don't have the building pad?
Douglas might be able to answer the questions better than me.
This is what you sent me.
Yeah, I know. He sends me one of these things every week, and I have a whole collection of them, and figuring out which one is the most recent one can sometimes be a challenge. The contractor's supposed to be sending us a revised submittal on the wash equipment, and also a revised submittal on the building and on the equipment that goes in the building, and also on the white goods. So they have, it's in their court to do those things, and until those submittals are approved, you know, we're waiting for them to, no significant work has happened over there other than what Donnie and his crews have done to make room.
Well, we've opened that back gate for them, but HIT representative was there yesterday and today, and they've staked it out. And
that's good.
The project engineer was there this morning at 7. Mr. Lewis White, Jr., or the third, but he was there walking, so they're doing something.
Now we're at least seeing them.
Yeah.
That month shift, is that going to, it's going to put it more into the busy part of the season. Is it separated enough that you're not going to be?
Yeah, it's not going to affect
okay. What
I'm doing.
Get that back to you. Thanks. Got it electronic.
Any questions on the project update? Okay, well, I guess we just looked at the consideration of the HIT construction report, right? Or is there another one?
That's supposed to be the Hill construction report.
Yes, I should. I'm sorry.
And that was, you're wanting to talk about this? This is the document.
Yes.
And I think you wanted to talk about those items that were in public works.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Which, you know, as you all know, what we did as a staff was we went through all of these things and identified what we could go ahead and fix and tried to get those things underway, and then put in the budget what we identified in the FY18 budget, what we identified as the most emergent things that needed attention, the expense for those things, and then incorporated into the 10-year plan those more long-term things that were identified in here that needed to be done.
And we added, what, $322,000 to this year's?
You're talking about FY18?
18. Right, to cover those immediate things.
I don't remember what the total sum was.
I thought it was 322.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay. My question then is, okay, so we put it on the 10-year plan, but we don't have any money set aside to do it. We put $75,000 in maintenance for the marina, mm-hmm. but we're looking at major amounts of money. Should we not be looking at this the same way as we look at saving the money for a fire truck or saving the money for the police, that we should in fact be putting money away now, add more to that $322,000 in the 18 budget that goes into, I don't know, whatever kind of fund you call it, savings fund.
A reserve fund. Reserve for
building
maintenance.
Knowing that these are coming along, mm-hmm. and it's what, $1.6 million total. Mm-hmm. So if this is over a, and I think it was 5 years that they recommended, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
The report includes maintenance items to be conducted between now and 5 years.
In 5 years. So in 5 years, we need to have $1.6 million. And we've only put $300,000 away, or budgeted $300,000 for 18. My recommendation to Ways and Means is to establish a reserve fund like we've done for other things and put the money in now so that as each thing needs to be done, the money is there to do it. Because some, I mean, there's major, now, to do this and yet not blow the budget.
Right.
It means we have to look back and see, okay, if we're going to put $500,000 more in 2018 to help pay down the road, then there's $500,000 in expenses that we now have in the budget that we need to remove. I'm not suggesting that we increase our budget by $500,000, but to keep the budget where it is and find out where we can trim.
When the issue came up of allocating a fund for the maintenance of the marina, I suggested we do that citywide. It's not just the marina, it's mm-hmm. the fire department, the police department, Donnie's facilities, City Hall. The way I think we should consider doing it is having a fund for maintenance for all of our facilities. Calculate based on this report, if you think it's reasonable, what percentage that would be of our annual operating budget, and simply allocate an amount for this purpose. 1%, 2%, whatever it is. Because remember, in 5 years when we've made these improvements, the things that we made in the first year,
yeah.
right, it's not going to go away.
Right.
And the older our facilities are, and we try to do the right thing, right, by stretching out the use of whether it's a vehicle or the building, the more costly the maintenance is going to be. So I would try to form a calculation based upon their analysis of what percentage would that be of our budget, and we have a facility-wide fund.
And I apologize because I mentioned this before and I still don't have it. I haven't relocated it. But there is a formula that you use on all municipal buildings in terms of an appraisal number and how what percentage of that value needs to be put away for maintenance. And I will try to remember.
Yeah, but there are, you know, apples and oranges. Yeah. A new city with average lifespan of 10-year buildings versus an older city.
Well, that's involved in this formula.
But it would not be difficult to get a number that we're comfortable with if it's not spent on that person. We don't have enough. At least we've made an effort in the right direction. And, of course, it could be used for other things if it's surplus.
Well, Mount Pleasant has $11.4 million in this year's budget for maintenance and replacement of assets. But they budgeted every year.
Mm-hmm. And they started out, this is how we got the idea for the Hill Report, was when we met with them mm-hmm. and they mentioned how they...
First you have to know mm-hmm. what you got.
But that's a line item that needs to be in our budget, every department.
Well, but what you're saying is to put it in the general budget line, the operational line, not just in each individual.
As long as the total is the same, and depending upon how we manage those maintenance activities, you can either do it department to department, or each department gives their number and you put it in one account. It's achieving the same result. The key is, what credible number do you come up with and include it as part of your regular process?
Well, right now we at least know the number that Hill gave us, so we're not out there kind of pulling numbers out of the sky. Now, how much more than what Hill has given us is required may be a question. But I would be satisfied at this point to simply have that reserve fund based on Hill's recommendations right now mm-hmm. as we budget. And then if we go into next year's budget and we find that that number needs to be manipulated a little more, that in the following years we increase the number.
Why not take that work product now, plus let the administrator, the department heads, and the treasurer review that and scrub that relative to ongoing efforts and see what the number is, or if it's a percentage, plug that in. If it's a percentage, we have something to deal with and it's very concrete and very specific. Mm-hmm. But this is a ways and means issue, really,
right.
But we mm-hmm. can make our,
right.
our wishes known.
So we need a motion to recommend to Ways and Means that we establish some calculation that enables us to have a reserve fund to cover maintenance over the next 5 years.
So moved. Exactly that. I'll make that motion.
Second, why would we limit it to 5 years? We just discussed this as an ongoing effort.
Well, I think if we could get them at the 5 year level, next year we do another. I mean, it goes out a year every year.
That requires more action. Why not just establish it now?
Because for me, I have a concrete report that says 5 years. Maybe it's just me, but I need to see something that a professional has said, this is what you need to do. Because I don't know enough about the buildings and or establishing that. Percentages gets you locked into things that I'm just not as comfortable with the percentage as I am with looking at the figures that they gave us. That's
okay.
Just my own personal.
Sure. We have a motion. So.
So let's call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No opposed. I wasn't saying no, Murray.
No, I know, I know.
She voted
sure.
both ways.
Yeah.
We had 3-1 somehow.
Right. Okay. And we will correct that. It's not the HIT report, it's the Hill report.
Right.
Okay. And I didn't catch that.
Me neither.
Okay. Update on drainage issues.
Yours says Hill? Well, mine on the revised says HIT. But.
Yeah, mine does too. Okay. Update on drainage issues. Anything new on Sand Dollar Drive, or can we close this off the agenda?
There is something new.
Here we go.
In a positive way.
Good. Yeah.
So Douglas and I had our quarterly meeting with Charleston County, Chris Wanamaker, and I forgot who the other one was.
Frank Pandula.
So the Sand Dollar project was discussed. A letter was being drafted from the county. Their professional staff indicating the same as our professional staff did. However, before that letter was final, Chris, in our discussions, he felt like that there was a low area and that in between the two palm trees, if you'll remember, on at number 3 Sand Dollar, and that although the system was working 100%, the landscaping on the in between number 1 and number 3 posed somewhat of a problem. Chris, as an engineer, they felt like that low area could use a drop inlet there, and they are working on the installation of a drop inlet in the barren dirt area between the two palm trees in front of number 3 Sand Dollar.
And Mr. Clem is aware of
okay.
that, I think.
Well, congratulations for sticking with it and getting them off your back. We want to make them happy if we can.
And the cost of that drop inlet?
Chris did not give us a firm figure.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be around $6,500 or something like that.
This is the low area that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Right. And that will eliminate the water from going to his driveway then? Because his driveway is also a low area.
The driveway is actually a little bit elevated
from
this
that.
Area.
Okay. So in your estimation, this should appease our citizens.
He didn't go that far.
He didn't go that far. But it's
certainly
something in the right direction that at least he's seeing.
He will see some action.
He will see some action, and therefore know that we have listened and learned. Great patience, Donnie. Really great patience on that one. So, should we leave it on the agenda for the next meeting? Okay.
Yeah, because
leave it there.
We don't know when that will.
Yes, we don't know when the count will show up.
That's right.
Okay. So it's not in process yet.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Discussion of requirements to pipe a ditch, and I asked for this to be on the agenda because is it Loudon?
Yeah, Loudon.
Off of 29th. Okay, where the
Loudon has an open ditch.
Okay. But there was a new house that was built, and there, previous to that, there was a small house that they tore down, and there was an open ditch in front of that entire side of the property. They piped it, and they covered it, and their driveways now go over it. And I asked if that, can any resident do that? As long as they apply for a permit and they cover the costs, then they can in fact cover any big ditch of ours?
I think that's a county approval process, isn't it?
Well, that's the reason Douglas is here. It's a multi-level approval process. And first of all, I want to make sure that we get it on the record that an open ditch actually functions better than a pipe ditch in most cases, because once you pipe it, you lose evaporation of water. So while it looks nicer and you capture more yard, in terms of keeping the whole island drier, you know, the open ditches really function better to do that. But it is possible to pipe them. It's much more aesthetically pleasing. It does capture property. Depending on where it is, it's going to require, you know, a permit from SCDOT. If it's not an SCDOT right-of-way, then, you know, it could be county. That in almost all cases where we have ditches where permits are sought to pipe them, that is worked through with Douglas's office, and it's often associated with new construction, not existing ditches.
Because I noticed it was a large ditch there before, and they not only piped it, but they put all the drop drains and everything else. It looks
Which
like they did a good,
likely
good job.
You're going to be asked to move up closer. You might as well.
I can personally attest to this. He is a hard man to work with.
Well, it's just not as cavalier as, hey, yeah, you can go ahead and pipe the ditch. You have to meet requirements.
So then my transfer from that is, can the folks on Hartnett do this? They have a drainage problem. We've been told that a ditch is the proper way to go to eliminate that area, but they have small children, and they really don't want a ditch in that area. Can they apply for a permit and get piping in front of their homes? Because the other half of the island does have several of the
So Hartnett, that is a roadside, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The Hartnett
right.
ditch. Yes, they could. They could. So the drainage infrastructure that is in the DOT right-of-way, we pretty well defer to DOT for their process. They have they require an engineer, that it all be engineered. It then gets reviewed by their engineers for any potential issues. They handle the permitting. So if it's in a DOT right-of-way, we pretty well defer that issue entirely to them. We, the city and the county, have kind of had a different policy from the DOT, where we have traditionally not authorized people to pipe ditches because of the reasons that you're describing. It decreases its volume. It increases the maintenance issues, and of course, if it's a county ditch or a city ditch, that maintenance comes directly back to us. Where if it's a DOT issue, you know, it should be falling to the DOT. But historically, Donnie, we've had people seek permission to pipe sections of ditches, and we, the city or the county, has typically not allowed them to do that, correct?
To to my knowledge, the last ditch that was piped was done through the county, and it was behind, it's at the entrance of Forest Trail and 34th Avenue. And it was an error on the island, on all of the barrier islands. These open ditches also act as retention ponds when you have 15-year storms, the bigger storms. So they hold more water in volume as opposed to a pipe ditch that, if it was an open ditch, the water would be in the ditch system. If it's a pipe ditch, a lot of that water is now going to be in the residents' yards. So an open ditch system is by far the greater option in the Lowcountry.
We did talk to Charleston County about kind of the wisdom of inserting ourselves into the DOT process on these issues. And as odd as it is, they are their own entity out here. They're their own MS4. The DOT.
DOT.
And
the MS4 has to do with the NPDES requirements.
That's correct. So their system, they are held responsible by the EPA specifically for that system. And the county advised against, you know, us kind of inserting ourselves into their system and their policies just solely for that reason. You know, if we start to influence their decision making on how they deal with their stormwater, I think it may murky the division between the two MS4s, which is probably something we want to avoid. You know, the giving the DOT the kind of the ability to say, well, that was, you know, this is an MS4, our MS4, but this, we were influenced by the City of Isle of Palms or the Charleston County Public Works folks. So they advised against us involving ourselves with their drainage system.
So this would be strictly between the resident and SCDOT to get the permit. Now, do we ever say, no, you can't, because Donnie has given the indication that there's not enough
slope.
Slope.
So that's, I'm not an engineer.
Yeah, the DOT engineers would look at it.
Right.
They might not approve it for that reason.
In our conversations with the residents on Hartnett, have we given them all of this information, or have we just told them the best way to do it is a ditch?
I have not given them this information about going to the DOT or to that level, no.
Have they kind of backed up from that?
Haven't heard back.
Okay.
Have you heard?
Is this Enright? What is the, I'm not sure I...
Yes, it is Enright.
Enright.
Yeah.
On Hartnett, where it always floods.
It floods a lot of places.
You're trying to remember
whether
you told her that it would require a DOT permit to do it.
I think she is interested in getting the water off of her private property. I don't think she's really gotten into... With me, I haven't gotten into discussions about the water holding on in the roadway. I guess I just haven't had that conversation with her. We could certainly tell her. I mean, that it's an expensive proposition, but if an owner wanted, if she wanted to install an inlet, pipe it, I think it would have to go across the street and then pipe down the road to tie into that ditch. We could let her know that. I think she's looking for a less expensive option, but we could certainly let her know that.
I do want to make one point of clarification with piping of a ditch, and that is that if the ditch has become a wetland, i.e. what plants are now growing in the ditch are protected, then that would require much more significant permitting requirements and likely could be denied. So I don't think any of our ditches that we're thinking about right now and discussing fall into that category, but there are some ditches that the Corps of Engineers and OCRM have told us would be considered wetlands, and if we were to pipe them, we might have to do wetlands mitigation in order to get a permit. And wetlands mitigation means basically
more land.
Well, yeah, you have to recreate a wetland somewhere right. else. So if you give one up, you've got to recreate the habitat.
You could say, okay, we'll give you this one. We'll take the one on the next road.
Yeah. So I just wanted that give that clarification.
But we have not heard much from the residents since the first complaint. Okay. Just wanted to follow that. Then can we take this off the agenda for next? Okay, we'll take that one off then. Update on phase two drainage.
Desiree can do that. She just turned in the progress report.
Yes, we turned in a quarterly report to the Rural Infrastructure Authority. The project schedule as of right now, the CSC, Civil Site Environmental, is working on the bids. We are shooting for the bid package. We're expecting bids to be opened end of May, and the project to begin construction end of August, early September, and we have a completion date of February. We have a deadline of May 2018 because of the funds that we have received, so we are well within the timeline that we need to meet.
Very good. Any questions? Okay, let's move on to new business. Discussion of the marina referendum timeline. I think we all saw the article in the Illini News, and there was some concern that it sounds like we're kind of backing away from a referendum. So we just wanted, personally, and what I asked for was the last time we did this, what was the process? Mm-hmm. And Linda was kind enough to send me the actual article from the Post and Courier.
The ad.
Mm-hmm. But it seemed, as I read through this, that first there was a resolution, that the city council passed a resolution to do this. And then it was put in the form of a referendum to vote on it. So are we at the resolution stage where we could start working on the actual verbiage in this resolution? I know we don't have the exact numbers, but in order for us to get this referendum on the cycle in November, we would have to have it completed by August, correct? Okay, so
it's 5 months.
Right.
5 months. Mm-hmm. A lot of time.
So we should, in fact, be able to do this.
Well, one of the things I would just want to make sure, and in the dialogue that you and I had via email, I stressed this. I haven't been getting any feedback that suggested anyone was backing away from a referendum, but maybe you guys are hearing things that I'm not hearing. But I just want to make sure that when council takes an action and when we develop the question for the referendum, that we're operating off of the final numbers that you all have agreed to. So in other words, you know, obviously we would expect to be borrowing some money to accomplish whatever the goal is to accomplish. And so we need to know what the overall marina number is, which I think my sense from everybody was that 6.4 was too much and some things needed to come out of that plan. And again, that's just my sense. Everybody hasn't told me that, but my sense was that everybody was surprised by that number. Real Property at their most recent meeting said that they were of a mind to start, you know, cutting some of the elements out or seeing how much savings we could have. And I think one of the first things that was discussed was this bridge over the boat ramp. And so in order to get to the referendum question and the resolution to be passed by council, we need to first decide what size the project is going to be. And I think that that's the real work that needs to be done now as to whether or not it needs to be done at Real Property and brought forward to council, or whether or not you know, members of council want to make the proposal that we want to sit around a table and whittle it down ourselves until we get to a number that we're comfortable with. And then the question, and I'm just giving you all food for thought here, the question is, do you want to go out for decide on which phase you want to go with first and go out on a referendum for all of it, or only one phase of it at a time?
All of it.
All of it.
So
tell them right up front.
Okay, well, I'm just tossing.
after this came out, I had several phone calls and talked to people in restaurants and stuff, very nervous. Are we going to have a referendum or not? And people are afraid this is stalling. And we got 5 months. And I'm concerned about it because I've been on this island when we had referendums mm-hmm. first time.
Me too.
And, you know, as far as the wording of it, you take the rec center referendum and just cut and paste.
Or you can take this one.
Yeah, I think I would think it would be simple.
It's really simple. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
But what's the number of what we're going
to
borrow?
We need to set a timeline, a goal, and find that out. I don't want to come up in August and everybody says, well, we tried, we missed.
Well, you can keep in mind, the reason I brought to your attention that August was the date, and I asked Marie to look it up, was so that I could say, if your goal is November, keep in mind that makes August our target for dealing with all of this. But you can also have a referendum at any time. This particular one for the purchase of the marina was in December. So if you don't make your November, my point is, if you don't make your November target, I think that's the first question. Do you as a group, does council get together as a group and say, we do want November to be the target. So that means we need to get all of these things done by August so that we can make the November. I don't think that there's been clarity on that among council as a group. You're very clear about, you know, your opinions, but council as a group has not sort of let the staff know that, yes, we do want to shoot for November for this referendum, no other date, so we need to know what project we're doing by August. So that needs to then become a priority of council to decide what project we're doing so that we can get the work done to have the referendum.
Well, we need to get a petition going from the citizens. We'll do it. I just don't want it installed.
Yeah, now, I don't think it's necessary to have a petition.
Well, if we come up in August and say, well, we didn't get it done.
That's on us.
Yeah.
Well, got responsibility to get the work done.
Well, okay. Am I already going to do the work? That's the question. Now, excuse me, but and when we had to connect a referendum, that thing didn't even come up to June or July. And there was a petition presented to council. And council didn't want to vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the citizens forced it.
Right.
And that referendum came up 2 days before Hugo. You know, but I'm saying that was done really quickly. That was a group called Island Watch that brought that up.
Right.
I mean, that summer. It wasn't even an issue in May.
Okay.
In June and July that we hadn't set.
Yeah.
I just don't want to miss it. In November, we'd have the biggest turnout.
You're absolutely right.
So to put this in some perspective, first of all, there's contrary opinions to what you're hearing. We're hearing that people say, why did we elect you? We did a referendum on purchasing the marina. We elected you to manage it. Go manage it. I understand that in the public
Real Property
Committee meeting that there was a resident that spoke to that point. Is that right?
Public comment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the lady.
Fanning. Yes, that's right.
And she advocated mm-hmm. not to have a referendum. Have we had anybody come in public comment and advocate a referendum?
I don't think so. I really, without going back to the minutes of meetings, cannot rely on my memory to categorically one way or the other.
But my sense from council, the way I read it, is that council would want it at the election. It saves time, it's more efficient, you're going to have the best turnout. You've given them basically what I view as a drop-dead date. Council, if you want to do this, you got to get your act together by August. It's up to us to get our act together. Now, having it on the agenda at this committee also creates more work for staff that they don't need if it's on a real property agenda item. So we should defer to them and not have it on both. You're going
to
get
we can't go to the right hand. We don't have any input.
We get their recommendation. We'll get it when it comes to council. They do the work.
One of my concerns, and I'm listening intently to the committee audios, and that has been the best thing that has happened since I've been on council, because we have been told not to go to those meetings. And so if you listen to those minute or the meeting, it's like ATM presents their professional opinions. And the committee says, no, we don't want to do that because one of the marina tenants doesn't like it. And so now they're looking at, okay, well, what doesn't the marina tenant like that we can take out? What does the marina tenant want that we're going to add? And some of my questions are in terms of the relationship between the marina tenant and his, whether you call them subleases or other businesses that he has developed, in terms of this project, $42,000 is to build a kayak dock for a business we receive no money from. This is an independent relationship between the marina. And in my feeling, cut that $42,000 out. If he wants to build a new dock for his business, that's great. Build a new dock. But we as a city don't have, but we don't have that opportunity to give that input. I think the idea of having a workshop or whatever we want to call it and bring everybody around the table so that we're not just having three members of council to look at all of this. The other thing is, you know, increasing the electricity, because now we have more transit docks. Increasing the cost of the concrete around a pad on the marina store, because that would be nice for his patrons. I think there has to be somewhere that the city is protected from simply creating this area for one of the businesses. I think that we're looking at it. I think that the Real Property Committee is doing a good job in trying to say, okay, we can't afford 6.4. I think that number just kind of blew us away. But when you start looking at what was added from the last time ATM presented to this time ATM presented, it is principally to appease the marina manager. So I would like us to have a conversation of all of the council members, because my fear is we are going to be presented a plan that we don't agree with.
Sandy,
as a whole.
I appreciate your comments and your observations, but it's already been presented at full council. Whatever the committee recommends, we'll review at Ways and Means, we'll review at full council, we'll have that opportunity. And this is after a year of discussion and a year prior to that of the planning committee providing information.
But if you look at what we have now, it's nowhere close to what we started.
I understand. That's the nature of the beast. These things evolve. But ultimately, we have to make the decision as a governing body and direct staff what to do if we go to a referendum. And that's why Linda keeps talking about the number. What is the number? What are the terms you're going to go to the referendum on?
But, you cannot go to a referendum on $2 million if you know ultimately you're going to spend $6 million.
I'm sure, Sandy, that if somebody listened to our dialogue from another committee, they could complain about the way we dealt with handling water debris on Waterway Boulevard. But we have that dialogue. That's the structure that's in place. And we'll come back to them at Ways and Means and give them our logic and the benefit of our study, and we go forward. This process is there to do these things, and we hear them multiple times.
I didn't hear anything about $6.4 million that full council discussed.
Kirby did the briefing. Was it a council or Ways and Means?
We didn't get a $6.4 million.
We had a 2.3. I read about it in the newspaper.
Yeah, no, place. We didn't get 6.4.
No, we did not.
We got 2.3.
It was reported in the last city council meeting by the Real Property,
right,
by the chair.
And I think that
we read it in the paper before that.
Yes, because the reporter covered the Real Property Committee meeting where Kirby presented the information for the first time.
And the committee
the system for all these elements, including the Fourth Estate, the system is working. We have ample information. It's just a matter of sitting down and making the decisions. It's no more complicated than that. Now, we all come from a different perspective and different experiences, which adds to the value of our discussions. But she's given you a timeline. You want it in November? Make a decision. Call for the vote to have the referendum. Don't have the referendum. Do it in phases. Do it in total. Do it for $6 million. Do it for $4 million. Call for the vote. Get the process and give staff some direction. And then step back and let the system work. We're too involved. We're too darn involved. And we get caught up in the weeds and we miss the bigger picture. The objective is to provide a quality service and an opportunity. We have few places to provide an opportunity for the citizens to come and really spend time in a place on the island where they can interact and have a municipal activity. And this is a big one. And you made the decision, and the citizens made the decision to buy it. We can't disregard it. And we've spent a year and a half through this process. We just need to move on.
And I think some of what you say in terms of our being too involved, that's part of being on a 5-mile island. Whether you like it or not, my neighbors come to me. They knock on my door and they want to know what's happening. I can't say, well, go to real property. That's not what they're looking for from me. They're looking for me to have the same information that the other committees have. And now I think we're getting it through the audio. I think that's the best thing that's ever happened. Because I can say, well, I listened to this audio, and this is what real property is talking about. But if this is, it cannot be just this global vote on a big project. That's not this island, Ted.
It's on the website. You can pick up the phone and talk to any chairman.
That's not this island. I'm sorry, but it's not this island. This island is about walking your dogs and talking to your neighbors and having them talk about minuscule things.
Well, let's do more of that. Let's spend more time walking and biking and being on the beach. Do
but
more
then
of
where
that.
Do we bring it? We don't bring it to committee. We only bring it to Linda. Or we only, that, I know what you're saying in terms of the typical governmental process would not be as involved as we become. But that's just not this island. It's just like we give them white goods services, which, you know, is very personal.
Our processes are not unique to other local governments, but we're dealing with antiquated processes, and we haven't taken advantage of innovation and technology. We have 24/7 information. We have great transparency, more than there's ever been. Yet we can tend to hold on to some old processes that are counterproductive and are a huge waste of staff time. And we want to talk about being fiscally responsible, yet we go ahead and create cost and have lost opportunities when staff could be going out and adding more value. Because we have repetitive things on agendas, we have meetings that are unnecessarily long and too often. You know, we had a good session at the last meeting, and we had a discussion about oversight for Donnie. And the conclusion was, let's not have more oversight for Donnie. Let him get out and do his job. That was outstanding. And I would encourage both of you that we look at and do that more and create other opportunities with other staff to do that.
You're heard, Ted, but I just
thank
I
you.
Disagree.
I have no idea what you just said.
Let me simplify it.
You don't have to simplify it.
They don't require the oversight that we're giving them. And they could use their time more effectively.
I have not added any oversight as far as I know. What have I added except to say we're concerned and let that concern be known?
Well, one minor example, just a minor example, and it's not a big deal, but having this topic on the agenda when it's a different committee's responsibility. That's just one example. But if we add
this,
all these examples.
This put it on the agenda.
Okay.
This put it
the
on
residents
the
of the island put it on the agenda,
yeah.
Because they're all over me about it. So why don't you know about this? Are we going to have a referendum, Jimmy, or not?
Tell them to go to the real property meeting and comment, like the lady did yesterday.
They don't want to go to real. They don't even like those people. They don't want to be in the same room with them.
What people?
The people on real property.
That's not fair. Tell them they should like them. They're trying to help.
Well, these are my close friends. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't tell them to go do something. They want.
You can't tell
they
them.
Want the answers from me. I'm a council member. I got one vote like everybody else. I should have the same information to be able to share with everybody.
And you get it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, no, right here.
It's there. It's online. It's on a recording. It's on the minutes. I mean, we get it everywhere.
So, if I can kind of try to get back to what I think I'm hearing two different things, but I'm going to try to bring them together. One of the concerns that I have about the referendum, and you know, as you all know, I've been on the island since 73, so more than 40 years, and so I've been through a lot of votes, been through a lot of the politics, and been a registered voter the whole time. We're going to need to use CARE in our language for the referendum, because at this stage, I could not address the affordability. So in other words, we don't want to ask the voters, let's say that you all embrace a $4 million project, okay? We don't want to ask the voters, do you want us to borrow $4 million in order to do this project? And let's just hypothetically say, they resoundingly say, yes, we do. And we start trying to put those numbers to paper to see how we're going to service that debt, and we are not able to do that. Because, of course, I think we would all agree in this room that the goal would be to do it without any property tax increase. And so right now, at this stage of the game, because I don't know the final number, I can't develop those scenarios to tell you whether or not it is affordable for the city. So if in fact we are not to that stage by August, then we'll need to make sure that we say something in the language of if it is affordable without a tax increase, or if it is affordable within the revenues, that something that is the caveat. The other thing that I worry about, and again, I'm just sharing with you my concerns, is that, you know, even if it is affordable, let's say we have the opportunity to look at the ability to whether or not we can afford it, we will be asking them a question in 2017 that would not see any activity, basically, until roughly about 2019, because we have only budgeted in the 2018 budget to begin to do the engineering on the project. We've got all the years of permitting that they've talked about every time that they have presented this to us. And so I don't want to get the voters, we're making the assumption in my scenario that they do like it. You know, with the purchase of the marina, the question was asked, and the paperwork was signed to purchase that marina. And the question was asked in December, and the paperwork was signed in January. So there was immediate gratification to the voters that what they had asked council to do, that council had in fact executed that. So again, I think we need to, I understand that there's the concern that we're not going to go to referendum if we don't hit the November target. And I'm not trying to drag my feet. I'm just trying to make sure that you all are thinking about this. Now, if you think it's going to be resoundingly defeated, then it wouldn't matter. There's no need to even do any of that work because, you know, the people have said we don't want it. We like the marina like it is. So, and we want you to do things to it so long as you don't have to borrow any money, maybe. That, you know, I don't know. But I guess I just want you to understand that we don't want to ask them, do they want us to do something if we, in fact, cannot do it?
Conversely, you don't want to ask them for too little and say use your $4 million number, and you come back a year and a half later, economy has changed, other things have changed, and you find out what you promised to deliver, how you defined it, there has to be some definition, right? There's also going to be education about what we intend to do, that $4 million wasn't enough.
Right.
Oh, and they'll think, well, you blew the budget. Well, you know, not really, circumstances out of our control. So we've got to have a number that we can stand behind that's within a range that isn't too much or too little. And then maybe that's an issue too. It should be a range.
Well, what's it going to take to get to that number?
Well, you all have to decide what to cut out of the 6.4.
Well, then back to Sandy's suggestion, I don't think that it's fair for real property to come and say, we've decided this, now vote on it. Well, I think we need to have a discussion. Everybody has one vote, and these committees, we've got three people deciding what's going to happen. You know, that's not good.
Jimmy, we don't make decisions, we make recommendations, right?
We decide.
We're going to instruct staff to carry out this. That's Linda's job, is carry out day-to-day operations of the wishes of council. We don't make recommendations, and Linda doesn't say, well, I appreciate the recommendation, but we're not going
to
do that.
No. We make recommendations to the full council. Like our example early on Waterway, we make a recommendation of $20,000 additional for maintenance. Then council decides it. We don't decide it. We make a recommendation. Real property is going to make a recommendation, and we're going to cut it up.
But they will have changed what we have previously seen to what it is now, which is very, very different in terms of that decision making. And some of what I'm hearing is, well, we have all of this permitting. Mm-hmm. That permitting costs money. Mm-hmm. We are spending money to get
money.
To that number.
Sure.
And then to say, well, we can't do it. There has to be at some point where we say, okay, here's the line in the sand. Real property, do the best you possibly can, but give us a number by June.
Yeah. So, Sandy, what about that? We have spent a lot of money. We have sunk costs. Any idea what it is, Jimmy? $500,000 and all the studies?
It's more than that.
And a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
I'd argue, or I'd offer to you, that time is a value of money. So we do that. What if we do a referendum? And let's say it's one vote majority against, and we don't do that. Then what are we going to do? What happened to the sunk cost? What happened to the time? And what would be your vision of the Marine in the future?
That's why we need a referendum as soon as possible before. If the people don't want it, we're throwing money down a rat hole.
But if they don't want it, my second part of the question is, what will we then do?
We will do whatever is safety-wise needed to be done.
So a minimalist approach.
Yeah. I mean, we will not be able to just ignore that piece of property, but there wouldn't be pretty landscaping, and there wouldn't be walkways all the way around, and there wouldn't be this, and there wouldn't be that. We'd have to take care of the tanks. We'd have to take care of the docks. We'd have to take care of the dredging. And that's where some people are. They said, you know, we don't care if there's potholes. It's a marina. I mean, that's where some
people say it.
Yeah, the same way with the lease on the restaurant. They don't want a fancy restaurant. They want a down home. Let me go in with my flip flops and my jeans. Whereas another portion of the town wants a Hall's Chop House.
Did you hear about that?
I did not.
I got some from very good source that they're just dying to get out here.
Huh. And they want that Pause. Property.
And they want that property.
But that means no flip-flops and jeans.
No.
Right. And it won't be. We'll lose the island flavor and stuff.
But anyway, that's digressing. But that's where I think we are. I think I'm hearing that, you know, why are you spending all this money? Why
exactly.
are you doing, you know, why are you having ATM come in and we spend how much with them?
I don't know off the top.
Well, what answer do you give them? What answer should I give my neighbors?
I tell them it's in the hands of the real property. Go ask them.
Well, we make the decisions.
But we haven't made any decisions.
Yes,
we haven't
approved
had
all the money
to
do the ATM studies. We've made that decision.
Well,
the council has.
I got what I wanted to do accomplished, and that's bring it out on the table and at least let it see the light of day. Some people, you know, don't like the way it's on there, and that's, I'm sorry about that. But at least we're talking about it, and that's what the people want us to do. So I appreciate you, everybody's.
And to sum up, I'm hearing that there is no overt, clandestine reason for us not to have a referendum. But what I'm also hearing is that two of us, at least on this committee, want to see it sooner rather than later, so that we don't get into a position where we're saying, okay, we're going to spend another $200,000, $300,000 on permits, because it's going to take a year to get those permits when we don't know whether we're going to do the project or not. I think we shouldn't go after any permit unless we have that referendum first to find out if, in fact, we're going to do it. And let them know, you know, the people know, that even if this referendum passes, be aware that you will not see anything for a year or two years because here's the process. And that can be communicated. And I also disagree with doing any kind of a proportionality of that referendum. It needs to be the whole number. Now you can say, here's the whole number, and in phase one, this is what will be spent. In phase two, this is what will be spent. And here are the phases. But I just think it would be ingenuous of us not to give them the whole number. That's my opinion on it.
Sandy, to wrap up, and you both had, I think, what are your final comments? I just want to comment that when a committee makes a recommendation, they don't have the final say. Council, we all have the final say, and we vote on it. We vote on it as a budget item, and we vote on it as a policy item. And when staff then implements what we vote on, it's not staff's fault, it's not the committee's fault, it's council's responsibility. We vote and approve these things. And we shouldn't take it out on, even if we disagree with their recommendation or they disagree with ours out of this committee, take it out on a committee or out on staff. We are the ultimate decision makers.
It might be helpful to go over the minutes from the marina workshop that council held mm-hmm. last year, because most of the recommendations that came out of that workshop are the ones that are presented in the latest ATM scenario. After we received the numbers from scenario A and scenario B, council mm-hmm. had a workshop.
Right.
And that's where the bridge was discussed mm-hmm. and, you know, how to make it more walkable.
Right.
Walkable friendly.
Right.
So most of those items that are included in this scenario came out of that.
And then we incorporated dredging in it, which was probably the biggest number, but dredging was something that we knew that we would have to do anyway. So that got us to the 6.4.
By the way,
but that's only 600,000. I mean, you'd still be over 5 million without that number.
For what it's worth, I think those costs in general are overestimated. They're very conservative because the consultant doesn't want to come back. You do the project and you blew past their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a big safety margin in there beyond what
we
choose
to do. Well,
they
have to, because it's going
to
span several years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just give these today's numbers. It's got to be.
But I don't think we should light our hair on fire about 6 million or 5.5 million.
Well, I only think it did light people's fire because the numbers they had seen before were nowhere close to 6 million. And then to come up there. And they didn't have the advantage of the discussions. I'm telling everybody, go online and listen to the audio. You can hear every single word that's being discussed. And Marie does a great job on minutes, but minutes aren't meant to be every single word that was said.
Right.
Whereas when you listen to the audio, you can hear all the discussions. And one thing that disturbs me when I listen is that a professional gives his opinion and says, you need to have this. And then the committee says, no, we don't want it because it costs too much money. Well, if it's an ADA requirement, it's an ADA requirement. I mean, there are certain things that we are going to have to spend money on because of laws and recommendations. It's not just a pretty thing that they're putting in there. But anyway, I think we have discussed this down to the end. Any other comments? Okay, miscellaneous business?
I just want to, I think I sent you all a copy of this, but just wanted to make the announcement of the good news that Charleston County is now going to go to weekly recycling in the season. So that is, that's good news. And it will not, while it will be paid for out of their accommodations tax money, it will not be a reduction in what they're sending us in order to be able to.
That's
we are seeing a reduction, but that's based on collections. They're taking it out of their own. So so the service would begin Wednesday, the 24th of May, and end the first Wednesday after Labor Day.
That's good news.
Yes.
And that is not in direct correlation with what the city does with garbage twice a week, just
right.
So you know.
Okay, so it'll be opposite days or whatever.
No. So my season is not the same season as this season.
Oh, I see.
I see.
Because I've consolidated my season to help with the yard debris during the season.
Got it. The only other thing, Linda, you sent me the good news that we received a check.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there were two things. Thank you, Sandy. As you recall, we had asked that the county put the majority of the city's funds that they were holding from our stormwater fees towards this project, and that was, we had estimated that at $471,000 and some change. And so when all of this stuff and discussion started happening about changing the fee and the possibility of us going negative, that made me nervous. And so we started reaching out to them saying, we think that we ought to go ahead and have our money in our possession. How do we go about getting it? And they told us, and we sent them the information, and they have sent us a check. So we are in possession of the $471,000 that is a part of what will be spent to offset this.
Check, was that big?
Mm-hmm.
That was, it was $471,000?
Mm-hmm.
Did they get any money for restrooms?
Well, it's our money.
No.
They're sending us back our money.
That doesn't deplete the whole fund, though, does it?
I mean, no, I want to say we left 25%.
20%.
Right. 20%.
Yeah, we were not going to deplete it totally.
No.
Right. Their
okay.
Suggestion was that we keep 20% in there. And so we said we want to take all of it, except for what your suggestion is that we leave in the kitty.
That's
so that's
good,
what we
really
did.
Good news.
That's
yes.
Really good news, because at the time we started talking about that project, we were only at 300,000, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Really
so
good
that,
news.
That has grown in that time.
Mm-hmm. So I was very relieved to see that check come
good.
In.
Sure.
Anything else, Linda? No. Anything else from members? Our next meeting will be Wednesday, May 3rd at 11 a.m.
I am unavailable, but I would encourage you not to change the meeting. Like last year, the meetings are missed. This is due to a family commitment.
Well, if we could, change it if we need to. Is there?
No, you don't need to do that.
No.
Just keep it the same.
Okay. All right. We will see Jimmy on May 3rd.
You guys have fun.
Enjoy.
It'll be a shorter meeting without me.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, good
okay.
luck.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are out of here.
Jimmy, 2 seconds for me to take you over and introduce you to Wynette.
Look at that. Finished it.
She started
yesterday.
She didn't
have a baby with her.
Yeah, you snuck in on me.
Thank you all very much for letting me sit up.
We need a
yeah.
big one.
Right, Donnie?
No, no, I just saw that.
Father's Day is a very nerve time around my house.